Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 315.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 315. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. You might hear my energy is a little bit lower than usual. I'm just trying to save my voice. It did kind of go. I went to Disneyland and I was yelling on the roller coasters and laughing a lot with friends and talking constantly. So I lost it a little bit, just a certain range. Just up in the high range, it's coming back, but I do have to kind of sing. In play, we're doing the music of Hadestown in church. I'm a music director for Hadestown. I wish that'd be fun for a church. And we do a lot of cool music. We're doing the music of Hadestown this week. And so I have to sing ensemble parts while I play. So that will be fun. And I'm trying to save my voice. Usually I'm very animated. I don't really care for my voice because I'm not a vocalist. All my vocal friends tell me to speak more from my diaphragm because I speak with my chest a lot. But anyway, here we are. I have a great episode for you. Fantastic. I literally just filmed it. And it's emphasizing the reason why. I love explaining to students the why. So many teachers just told me to do things in life. Learn your modes, learn your voicings, learn this tune, do this, do that, do this. They never said why. Do you ever get that in your education? And you're like, because knowing the why, what does that do for you as a student? What does it do for you in life? It gives you purpose. It gives you purpose. I'll say that again. And a human being with no purpose is lost. They don't have motivation. They don't have inspiration, right, to do the things that they need to do. When you have purpose, you'll do it because you know the why. So in this particular episode, I'm going to be explaining why it's so important to learn your rootless voicings. And I'm sure you've heard this over and over. You may have gone to the podcast and learned the rootless voicings. You may have even heard some whys, right, in previous podcast episodes or other teachers, you know. But I really, really go deep into the why of why they're so important, how they can help you and assist you in the three most coveted goals that students have in jazz piano. Playing in a band, accompaniment to a singer, instrumentalist, whatever, anyone who wants to play in a band, solo piano, and improv. Those are the three most desired goals by a jazz piano student. No matter what your goal is, rootless voicings will help you with that goal. And I tell you why. I tell you why in this episode. So it's a great episode. Very, very good. Essentially, hopefully it enlightens you as to the importance of shutting out distractions on the internet, on YouTube, in education, around jazz piano, books, whatever it is that you know, like that shiny pearl object that you want to learn, that McCoy voicing, that Herbie lick, right? That transcription, that thumbnail on YouTube that pops up and grabs your attention, like three secret voicings you want to learn, you know? I know all the tricks. I run an online jazz piano business, trust me. But what I try and do in the podcast is I try to sift through that. It's probably why like my education is not the most popular, to be honest, because this is just my theory. I really don't know. I don't know how they do it, honestly, with some view, like the views on some videos. I'm just like, my God, like how do you get hundreds of thousands of views? It's crazy. But I really try and distill a lot of like the fancy stuff. Because again, it's fancy because it's miscellaneous information. It's the 1% of jazz. It's the 1% of your progress. And when you focus on the 1%, guess how far you get? I say this in the episode. You get 1% of the way, right? So a lot of the stuff on YouTube, on the internet, all those things that make you click into a video because they look cool, right? It's the 1%. How does Bill Evans do this, right? How does he play that 1-9 or that feather thing in his left hand? Like, that's not really jazz, just so y'all know, right? That's a Bill Evans, you know, box technique that's like so granular. Like, yeah, it's cool to throw those in, but like, wouldn't you want to learn the stuff that's going to like get you 90% of the way there in your journey? Like, don't you want to make more progress faster? I know I would. I always do. And once you kind of make that progress, you can go back to that stuff and add it in later. So your rootless voicings are the thing that's going to get you 90% of the way there in your jazz piano journey. And I emphasize that so much in the video. I don't want to keep talking about it here because I'll sound like a broken record, but maybe that's good for you. I don't know. But I highly challenge you, I challenge you to shut out all the other distractions. Take 2 months. I say this at the end of the episode. Take 2 months. Learn your rootless voicings like the back of your hand. Don't do anything else until you learn your rootless voicings. Are you going to feel frustrated? Yeah, you are. You going to feel tired? Yeah, you are. Are you not going to want to practice your rootless voicings? Yeah, you are. Are you not going to want to go to the piano and practice? Yeah. Are you going to get sick of your rootless voicings? Yeah. But guess what? Just do it anyway. Just do it. Right? Stop listening to your feelings of what you want to do and what you don't want to do and just go do it. Because I promise you, when you ignore the way you feel about jazz piano and you just do this one thing, when you come out of it, when you come out of the dark tunnel, the pain and frustration of trying to learn something new, which can be very, very dark. It can be a very dark tunnel. I've been there many times and I've come out of it. How do you think I'm at where I'm at? It's not like I wasn't born a magician. I started in the same place as you, right? I don't have special skills or talents. I literally started in the same place as you. That's why I created a business to try and help everyone. But I've gone through that tunnel. When you come out and you start to see the light, it is the most glorious feeling of playing music that you will ever feel, ever, ever. And all the work, all the pain, all the frustration, all the not wanting to practice, all the not wanting to even touch your rootless voicings, it will have all been worth it. It will all have been worth it. And you'll look back and you'll be like, wow, if I had just done this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 1 year ago, I could have been in a completely different spot than I am. So with that being said, I challenge you to just learn your rootless voicings. Don't do anything else. Just don't do anything else. Discipline yourself. See how well you can focus on one thing. And it's going to tell you a lot about your learning style, about yourself, right? Things that you may not even want to face. And this may not be for everyone. Some people just enjoy playing and they don't really have much drive to get better. That's okay. That's totally fine. But if you are that person, just don't complain about getting better. That's all I got to say. Just don't ask, why am I not getting better, when you can't discipline yourself to focus on one thing and learn it like the back of your hand? Because I'll tell you, that's the exact reason. The reason you're not getting better is because you always play the stuff that you know how to play and you're not working on the things you don't know how to play. So again, I love golf. I go out, I try and get better. I want to get better. Some people don't care about getting better. So they go out on the course and they play golf and they have fun. That's great. No problem. But don't go out on the golf course and play like crap and say, why aren't I getting better? And expect yourself to be in a different place when you don't practice, you don't work on your game, and you don't focus on the things that are going to get you better, right? That's disillusion. I mean, you know, it's kind of insane, right? Your expectations have to be in a realistic place. If you're not focusing on something and working at the things you don't know, you're just doing the same things over and over and over again. Again, the definition of insanity, right? And expecting a different outcome. It's not going to change, okay? A little motivation from Brendan Dallas Lowe. That is my middle name. I've said it here first in the
315th podcast. But yes, for some people that might be a little cringeworthy. It might feel like I'm talking down to you. I'm not. I'm really hoping to inspire and motivate and just create a realistic image of what progress looks like and how you get better. And I know some of you will take these words and be like, wow, he's right. You know, you might have a moment, honestly, listening to this and be like, he's speaking the truth right now. He's calling me out. That's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you need to be called out. I was called out many times. I still enjoy being called out because people put our stuff in front of us. You know, when we're kind of hiding it, we tend to want to avoid pain. Human beings want to avoid pain. We're all about survival, right? Our brains are always self-sabotaging us, trying to move us away from pain and bring us to pleasure. And there's nothing more pleasurable to our brains and stimulating our brains than playing what we already know, right? How much sense does that make? I'll leave you with that. So here we go. Enjoy this episode on why rootless voicings are so important and how you can use them in so many different ways in your jazz piano performance.
All right, so I'm going to start by teaching you the two rootless voicing structures, and then I'm going to go over the three reasons that you absolutely have to learn these voicings. So if we take a D minor 7, I'm going to take a 2-5-1 in the key of C. Here's a G7. Here's a C major 7. Now, these are root position voicings. They don't really sound that great when we use them to jazz. Usually beginners, these are the first things that you learn to play a melody with. Right? So all the harmonies are down here in your left hand. We don't have any colors. We don't have any extensions. With your rootless voicings, your two structures, we start to get into some colors and different types of inversions of your chord without the root in them. That's why they're called rootless voicings. You hear the difference here? So this is a D minor 7 with a 9 on it. Instead of this, now I have this. It already sounds like we're playing jazz, right? And these are not basic voicings. These are cream of the crop. I use these all the time. You'll hear professionals use these as well all the time. I mean, these are professional jazz piano voicings played on albums that you might listen to, right? So this is going to be the first one. When I say 3-5-7-9, I'm referring to the numbers within the chord. So the root down here is the 1. This F is going to be the 3rd. The A is going to be the 5th. The C is going to be the 7th. And then we have the 9th on top. Okay? So that's going to be the first voicing. Now this doesn't jump around. It's going to voice lead to the next voicing. 7-9-3-13. So we have a 9 and a 13. Those are going to be extensions to our G7 chord, our G7 dominant chord. Again, here's the G7 dominant chord, the basic one. So we have the 7th of the chord in there, the 9, the 3, the 13. Now, the last one, C major 7, 3-5-7-9. Okay, so 3-5-7-9, these are really good numbers for you to remember and practice. 7-9-3-13 and 3-5-7-9. Now, even if you don't know what I'm talking about, right? Even if you don't know what extensions are, even if you don't know what seventh chords are, if you literally just copy this mathematical equation or like look at the chords and work them through different keys and learn these in all keys, you will be, I promise you, you will be 99% ahead of most jazz piano students. I'll say that again. If all you do in jazz is learn this structure and the next one I'm about to show you, you will be ahead of 99% of most jazz piano students. I promise you. I promise you. And you'll be able to do so many things. So let's go through this again one more time, then I'll show you structure 2. 3-5-7-9. And notice in my right hand third finger just moves down by a half step. All the other notes stay. It just moves down by one note. I don't even change the notes. And then a couple notes change there for my C major 7. Now, if I want to place this in another key, it's very, very easy. Remember the numbers I told you. We remember the numbers so that we can transpose into another key. So we're going to take the notes from the F major scale now. If we're in the key of F, so we do have a B flat, right? So if I play a G minor 7 chord, this is going to be the 2 chord in the key of F, and then I'm going to go to the 5 chord, and then I'm going to go to the 1. So remember the numbers, 3-5-7-9. I'm going to take 3-5-7-9, for my G minor 7 for the minor 7 chord. Now again, I'm going to go to my dominant chord, 7, 9, 3, 13, and then 3, 5, 7, 9. So I've just kind of practiced two 2, 5, 1s in the key of C and the key of F. Let's go to the other structure. Now, the other structure is just an inversion of this. It's an inversion, meaning it's the same exact notes, just inverted. They're in different orders. Right now, we have the third and the seventh in the middle. Now, by the way, if I take out the two color tones, look at what we have here. We just have shells. Why do teachers want you to learn shells? For this exact reason, because they make up 50% of your rootless voicings and 50% for the most part of all the chords you're gonna play. That's why they're so important, right? So shells, shells, shells. Now I'll put in the extensions, 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 right? So 50% of the rootless voicings is just shells. So if you learn your shells, you're halfway there. Here's the inversion. Instead of three on the bottom, we're gonna put seven on the bottom now. The third is in the middle, and now I'm gonna add the exact same extensions, the nine and the five, right? So instead of 3, 5, 7, 9, now we have 7, 9, 3, 5. Now, can you play any of the inversions? Yes, you can, but it typically sounds a little bit better to begin with when you have a shell note on the bottom of your chord. This is because it's going to relate to the bass note a little bit better. These shell notes harmonically interact with their bass note a little bit better than something else might, like a nine on the bottom, right? So this is just due to the overtone series and the way harmony works, okay? So just trust me on this. 7, 9, 3, 5, we're gonna now move our thumb down by a half step. Now I have 3, 13, 7, 9, okay? 7, 9, 3, 5, right? Then I can do that in the key of F. Okay, so you can go back and watch that a little bit more. I wanna get into essentially why these are so important, okay? Because a lot of you are probably like, why do I need to learn these chords? Like 90% of my students, they've come to me in my accelerator programs, my live programs, and they said, yeah, I've tried to learn these rootless voicings. All my teachers have told me to learn the rootless voicings. I even went through this in my journey. My teachers would tell me to learn the rootless voicings. I was like, why? Why do I have to learn all these voicings? I don't wanna learn all these voicings. How does this help me play jazz? Why do I need to learn this? This is the 80-20 rule. If you learn your rootless voicings, I promise you, this is 20, it'll get you 80% of the way there. Doing this work and doing it deep. A lot of the students that have come to me, I asked them to play a rootless voicing. Hey, can you play the rootless voicing 2-5-1 in the key B flat? They're like, I think so. And then they go to play it and it's wrong, right? You need to know these like the back of your hand where you can say, yes, I can play that. Cool, can you play that in the key of B? Sure. Can you do that in the key of E, right? Sure. That's where it needs to be at. Like, no thought process, yes, no hesitation, absolutely none, okay? That's the level these have to get at. Now, you can work yourself through the keys. Another question that students ask is, why do I work through the circle of force? We work through the circle of force because that's usually how jazz progressions are found in real book tunes. Ding, 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 right? So when we practice in the circle of force, we're gonna be setting ourselves up for success when we go to play tunes because most progressions are moving in the circle of force, right? It's our harmonic structure. So we're already tackling the majority of the chord progressions that we're gonna run into. Reason number one that you want to learn these, solo piano. They're so important to solo piano for a lot of different reasons. One of the great reasons we can use these in solo piano, if we experience any melodies in tunes where it's a nine, we have a nine on the melody, I can easily voice my nine on top with a rootless voicing. Right? So if we have some sort of melody that is the nine or the five on top, right? So if I had a melody as a five, and you're gonna find this a lot in tunes, let's say the melody was a five, you can harmonize that melody super quick just with your rootless voicing. You're gonna get an instant jazz sound out of that. And this also goes for, you know, for both structures. So that's reason number one. That's a great reason. So if you have a dominant chord two, right? That's a 13. Let's say you have a melody that's a 13 on top. Boom. You can harmonize it with a rootless voicing instead of searching for notes, guessing at what to play. Play a rootless voicing. You have the melody on top. bass note in the bottom. Boom, you got everything you need. Okay? The other reason it's great in solo piano is because in solo piano, we need to comp for ourselves. This is something a lot of students don't do. This happens more in medium swing to fast swing, although it does happen in ballads as well. When there's space in ballads, a great example of this is the tune Just Friends. So if I play Just Friends, this melody is holding for a very long time right off the bat. So in order to comp for myself, we have to comp for ourselves when playing solo piano. When we're in a trio, we need to comp for the trio. When we're playing solo piano, we need to comp for ourselves. So I'm going to go Just Friends, and then there's lots of space here. What do I do? One of the easiest strategies you can do is utilize your rootless voicings rhythmically to comp for yourself in the space. This is going to add to your solo piano performance by multitudes. Like, just, it's going to expand it and make it so much better. Comp, comp. So everything I'm comping right now in my right hand for the tune Just Friends is rootless voicings. Green Dolphin Street. You see my voicing right now? I'm comping in between the melody. Bass note, 3-5-7-9. Rootless voicings. That's it. And I'm sorry to burst the bubble, but like, That's what's happening in jazz. You know, it's so funny because students come to me, they think it's magic, they think it's secret, cool voicings, weird structures. They want to learn the Bill Evans voicings, weird McCoy stuff, weird Herbie stuff. That makes up 1% of jazz, unfortunately. So when you spend your time on the 1%, guess how far you're going to make go? 1%. If you spend your time on the 90% of what's played in jazz, guess how far you're going to go? 90%. Right? So rootless voicings are extremely important to solo piano, especially ballads too. If you're playing a ballad, My Foolish Heart, I'm going to comp a rootless voicing here. Comp. Now the melody's happening here, so I need to harmonize and play it, but I'm going to comp a rootless voicing here. Again, here's another great example where the melody is a 5, so what am I doing? I'm harmonizing the melody in My Foolish Heart with a rootless voicing, right? I'm gonna comp rootless voicing, okay? So I can use these over all solo piano styles, these rootless voicings, very, very easily, without thinking, without guessing, and everything. My Alexa's going off. Alexa, stop. I hope you guys find that hilarious. I'm not going to edit that out because it's hilarious. I know you guys can all relate to the Alexa. Oh, shoot. I just said it again. Going off, right? And something. Anyway, you can use these in solo piano really, really well. All right? And so that's awesome. Next, 2, comping or accompaniment. Listen, all you need if you're comping for someone is rootless voicings. That's all you need. Check it out. I'm going to do this so fast. It's so easy. Let's say I'm playing... Have you met Miss Jones? I'm just comping rootless voicings. If you want to accompany an instrumentalist, you want to play in a band, if those are your goals, you can literally just learn your rootless voicings and then put some rhythm to them and start to play music with other people. It is honestly that easy. Now, all I'm doing is rootless voicings and bass notes in my left hand. If I want to come up a little bit higher, I can add one note. I can add the 1 and 7 or 1 and 3 to my left hand. So on the bridge, Maybe I come up here and add 1 and 7 to my left hand for a different type of sound, a different type of texture in the middle of the piano. 1 and 7 in my left hand, 1 and 3, 1 and 7. 1 and 7, 1 and 3, 1 and 7. 1 and 7, 1 and 3, 1 and 7. My right hand did not change. My right hand did not change from that other style. Okay? So you can start to use these in a various ways to comp and accompany people. Now I'm going to get into why they're so important in voicings, but I can actually use drop two arrangement styles of my rootless voicings to comp up here if I want. This is all drop two. It's a drop two. I don't really want to get too deep into this, but that's a drop two style of what voicing? Say it with me now. My rootless voicings. So all of these voicings I'm playing are rootless voicing. Here's my rootless voicing for an F major 7. 3, 5, 7. No, sorry. 7, 9, 3, 5. Okay, 7, 9, 3, 5. That's a rootless voicing, right? Check it out. There's my rootless voicing. I'm going to create a drop two out of this by taking the second note from the top and dropping it down here into my left hand. Okay, I've practiced this a lot. It's not easy work. You got to practice it, but it gets you 90% of the way there. If every jazz piano student just learned the rootless voicings like the back of their hand, they would be light years ahead of where you probably are now in so many areas, you know? And I'm just speaking the truth here. Like, I want to kind of emphasize this point. This is a D7 rootless voicing, G minor 7 rootless voicing, C7 rootless voicing, and all I'm doing is creating a drop two style arrangement out of these. And I'm playing all the rootless voicings without any alterations, just as they are, comping. You can use them in the high end as well. When you transfer them to your left hand, you can put an octave in your right hand. So now I'm playing an octave in my right hand. All my rootless voicings are in my left hand now, because my right hand's playing an octave to comp. You know that kind of high-end, cool texture, high-end jazz comping texture you hear on pianos too? I'm just creating melodies within the key in my right hand octaves, by the way. Just completely random within the key notes. My left hand's comping rootless voicings, okay? We went over solo piano. We use our rootless voicings for solo piano to comp for ourselves and to harmonize. In a trio, if your goal is to play out in a band, we can use our rootless voicings to immediately start playing with a group by comping in any of the styles I just demonstrated. Low end with bass notes, mid to low here in the middle by adding 1 and 7, or 1 and 3 through our 2-5-1s here, my right hand has the rootless voicing. In the high end, my left hand now has the rootless voicing. Right, so the rootless voicing is transferred from my right hand to my left hand. And finally, one of the most coveted goals that jazz piano students have, improvisation, right? Learning your rootless voicings will not only teach you where the 9s and 13s are, it'll teach you about the chord tones, the shells, extensions, and how harmonies move. Now, a lot of bebop language actually comes from improvising and arpeggiating what? Guess what? Rootless voicings. Rootless voicings. And moving in and around your rootless voicing. Right? So I might go. Right? So obviously there's more to improvisation, but they do help tremendously. Right, so if I were to downward arpeggiate a rootless voicing here, I could downward arpeggiate rootless voicing here, or upward arpeggiate, or again, that is like one of the most bebop played bebop lines you'll ever hear. Guess what it is? A rootless voicing, right? Okay, so improvisation, right, is one of the third reasons that you definitely have to reuse your rootless voicings, and there's two hierarchies to learning improv. Remember this, because one path is extremely hard, the other path is a little easier. The extremely hard path when learning improvisation is when you're playing solo piano. If I'm playing solo piano and I have to comp for myself with all my left hand while my right hand improvises, this is one of the most difficult things in jazz to do. Right, so on and so forth. So that is very difficult. The easier way to do it, if you want to go play in a band, or you want to play with people, right? Or even just play with yourself, like with iRail Pro, left hand can take the rootless voicings. So if your left hand takes the rootless voicings while you improvise, this is one of the most beneficial, most helpful things you can do for yourself to learn good voicings to comp and accompany your right hand. Sorry, I was really trying not to alter them, but again, like, habits take over. 99% of the time, what I just comped in my left hand was all rootless voicings, right? Now, improv is like a whole different beast, right? There's a lot of language I was using in my right hand, okay? But I was using kind of some improvisation lines with rootless voicings in my right hand. So, needless to say, improv, if you want to really kind of get better at improv, rootless voicings will also be helpful. Now, the last thing I want to teach you about with your rootless voicings is using them as a stepping stone to create more fancy voicings or more fancy sounds in your solo piano or your accompaniment. So what I can start to do, let's take a G minor 7. Right now, this is a basic rootless voicing, 3, 5, 7, 9. And I don't think people realize the power and the potential that rootless voicings have, because we can start to alter these and add things, take away things, and it can move into so many different ways in a very easy process, right? So let's say this is our rootless voicing here. We're going to a C7 here. Okay, right now I have 7, 9, 3, 13. I have a natural 9, natural 13. Let's say I want to change one of the extensions and I want to create a different type of sound, right? All of us want these cool, fancy voicings. Let's put a flat 9 in here. So here's my natural 9. What do I have to do to create a flat 9? Well, flat the 9, right? Here's my 9. I'm just going to move it down by a half step. Do you hear how pretty this is? Again, these are not basic voicings. These are pro jazz piano voicings. Bill Evans, Oscar Peterson, Red Garland. Like, this is what they're playing on the albums. I really want to make that clear, because there's no other secrets to this. Okay? There really is not. They might have 1, 5, 10 here, and then a rootless voicing with a flat 9. Do you guys hear that? Right? The other thing they might do here is add in a note. So let's go back to our 7, 9, 3, 13, our standard C7 rootless voicing. My fourth finger is right over the sharp 11, so I could probably add that in to create a 5-note voicing. That's gorgeous, isn't it? Right, so my 2-5-1 would go G minor 7. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Check that out, right? So I'm playing 1 and 10. I don't have to play the 10, but it adds to the sound. And if I add 1-5-10, that's also going to thicken it up, but I can just play bass notes too. That sounds just as good. Back into my F major 7. So we can do this for all of the rootless voicings. Like if I take my C minor 7 rootless voicing, right? 7, 9, 3, 5. This is my standard C minor 7 rootless voicing. I can add the 11 in here. How gorgeous is that? Right? That's a gorgeous voicing. Then I can go to my F7. Let's change the F7 voicing. 3, 13, 7, 9, my standard F7 rootless voicing. Call some extensions out, right? I know you're listening, but let's say someone's just like, hey, flat the 13, sharp the 9. Cool. Flat the 13, sharp the 9. Now we got an altered voicing. So we had the C minor 11, beautiful pro jazz voicing, to an altered voicing. Let's go to our B flat major 7 and add the sharp 11. So check out the new progression you just made, all stemming from our rootless voicings. C minor 7 with an 11,
F7 altered to a B flat major, 9 sharp 11. How gorgeous is that? Okay. Now that's what I wanted to show you about the alterations. And what we can start to do as well is we can use theoretical concepts. If I use a rootless voicing, right, not, and I change the bass note, check it out. This creates a sus chord. Right now, if I'm playing my rootless voicing, my G minor 7 rootless voicing over a C in the bass. So I have B flat, D, F, A. This is my G minor 7 rootless voicing. If I play a G in the bass, I have a G minor 7 rootless voicing. If I put a C in the bass with the same exact notes in my right hand, boom, I create a sus chord. So guess what? If we change the bass notes, but we've already learned our rootless voicing, I can play sus chords up the wazoo however I want. Right? It's really that easy. And again, my point is everything stems from the rootless voicing. So I'm creating sus chords now. C sus, C7 flat 9, because I've altered the rootless voicing. I can easily find my C7 flat 9 chord because all I do is what? We just flat our 9. And then into my F major 7 sharp 11. How did I get this so fast? Regular rootless voicing, added the sharp 11 with my thumb. It's that easy, okay? Last thing, we can start to create tritone subs out of these. C minor 7, tritone sub with a rootless voicing. I'm not using any different voicing here. It's not a guessing game. All I'm doing is going, instead of C, F, B flat, I'm going C, B, 7. B as in boy, 7. I'm using a tritone sub. I don't want to get into the theory of this, but you can easily play these once you've learned your rootless voicings very easily. I can now change my B7 rootless voicing if I want, because guess what? We can do that, because what do we have to do? Just change the extensions in the voicing. So let's take our 13 on top, let's flat it, and let's flat our 9. So now we have a flat 9, flat 13 voicing. So C minor 7, B7, flat 9, flat 13, into the B flat major 7. Let's create a B sus voicing. C minor 7, I'm gonna play an F sharp minor 7 rootless voicing over my B chord into my B flat. All I'm doing is playing a regular F sharp minor 7 rootless voicing, 3, 5, 7, 9, but I have a B in the bass, not an F sharp. That creates a sus chord. B flat major 7, okay? Solo piano. Accompaniment, right? If you want to play in a band, you can create all these amazing harmonies so fast out of your rootless voicings. Number 3, improv, especially for your left hand, right? No matter what you're doing, if you're playing solo piano improv or playing in a band improv. When I play solo piano improv, all my left hand voicings that I'm jumping to, 99% of the time, rootless voicing. 99% of the time. Okay? So, hopefully you understand the power of the rootless voicing. Now, here's where students get tripped up. They don't learn the rootless voicing well enough. They don't learn the rootless voicings well enough. So, when they get to the points where they want to alter the extensions, they want to use them to comp or accompany other people, they want to use them in improv, when they go to play them, they still don't know them well enough, so they're hesitating, right? They don't come out naturally. They don't come out free-flowing. To get to a point where you're spontaneously using them, right, so they're free-flowing out of you, you have to learn these better than you have ever learned anything ever. It has to be like the alphabet. It's got to be like the alphabet. It's got to be like counting to 10. That's how you don't think when you count to 10. You don't think when you learn, say the alphabet, right? If you're thinking and guessing at the notes to play, you don't know them well enough. Okay, just use that as a general rule of thumb. If you're thinking and guessing when you see the chord on a lead sheet or page at what the rootless voicing is, you don't know them well enough. You just got to practice them more. Use flashcards, use drills, use the metronome, right? Just learn them so well that you literally don't have to think about using them. And I promise you, you will be in 100 times better jazz pianist than you have ever been before. Okay. Now, if you want lots of practice exercises around your rootless voicings and how to morph these, how to switch them, how to get all the theoretical concepts, obviously inside Jazz Piano School, we have all that to offer. So you can go to jazzpianoschool.com and sign up for the membership if you would like that. And you can get all of those documents. But again, please, please, please just learn your rootless voicings, right? If there's anything you do in jazz, just learn your rootless voicings. Like this was it opened up a world for me that I can never even begin to describe to you and iterate to you. You just got to do it yourself and see what happens. Take 2 months. I promise you, just stop all the videos on YouTube, stop all the Bill Evans stuff, stop all the Herbie stuff, stop all the cool licks, the cool voicings. Just take 2 months and say, okay, what if I listen to Brendan? What if I listen to him? I stop jumping around. I apply myself. I practice my rootless voicings for 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes. 10 minutes for 2 months, right? I promise you, you will be in 1,000% better jazz pianist than you have ever been. Try it out. Try it out. Prove me wrong. I dare you. I dare you. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Hope you guys learned a lot. I'll talk to you soon.